Hello friends, it's time for your second weekly helping of the Kings of Anglia podcast. The usual preview show, obviously this time we're going to have to take in a little bit of what happened on Tuesday, because we have to. I'm your host, Mark Heath. We rotate the squad again. So into the breach steps, Hutch Hogan, Andy Warren.
Slim down squad.
Very much slim down.
Just the two of us.
Yeah, we're actually recording this, obviously we're not in the studio because Roscoe's not here. And we don't know how to work the buttons. So we're actually in the editor's office. We've stepped up, we've kicked the editor Brad Jones out. He said he'd do anything to help the podcast massive. And so we booted him out of the office. And he's also going to be bringing us drinks, hopefully.
Is he?
No, that's a lie. Oh. That's a lie, unfortunately. Okay. Yeah, so just the two of us this week, Hutchie. First of all, I want to catch up with you because you were meant to be in Italy.
Oh, don't make me talk about
it. Yeah, I want to talk about it, my friend. Don't make me talk about this. Obviously, not only were you meant to be there, Storm Ciara fucked that right up for you. You were meant to be at what was one of the greatest Milan derbies of all time on Sunday night.
Yeah.
How are you feeling? What's the latest with you, my friend? Where are you in your headspace?
I don't know if we need to talk about this. It's going to bring out too many emotions.
Okay.
Sadness.
Yeah.
At least I got to go to AFC Wimbledon on Tuesday.
Absolutely. So, let's talk about that then.
Yeah. I've never liked people called Ciara. Is that how is it? Is it Ciara or Kira?
I don't know. I'm pronouncing it
whichever
Ciara.
Whichever it is.
Yeah.
She
messed you right up.
Yeah. She's awful. Yeah. Awful woman.
Absolutely.
Isn't Dennis on the way now as
Dennis
well?
Is coming this weekend, which apparently might close your World Bridge, which will lead to some interesting journeys for fans coming into the town. That'd be absolute carnage.
Dennis. I'd quite like to be the guy that names storms.
Yeah, they should have better names.
Yeah, just don't go alphabetically all the time. Mix it up. Come up just because it's obvious what's going to come. Enid, Eric.
Aren't they named, like, already? We've got, like, a list of names that goes on for years ahead of possible names.
They're doing themselves out of a job there.
Aren't
just
they?
Like, just don't work so fast. Like, get to know the storm, know its character, know what it likes and doesn't like, and then give it a name from there.
Can't they be better names though? Like you say, like Dennis almost sounds friendly. Ciara sounds like she might be a singer.
Yeah.
I'd like to have like Storm Bad Intentions or something like that. Storm Ass Kicker. Because then at least you know that bad stuff is coming.
You can pitch yourself. You could do this. Go to the Met office and you be or whoever it is.
Bring in the old fight promotion side of things. Ill will, that kind of stuff.
The iron fist.
Exactly. That'd be exciting.
Anyway, Ciara can do one.
She can do one. Dennis can do one as well. And the other thing that can do one is Tuesday night at Wimbledon. 0-0. Not good. Town really needed to win that game. Yep. Obviously, they managed to stop the bleeding of three straight defeats. But at a team like Wimbledon who are struggling, they play in a shed. It wasn't good enough, was it?
No. They've put a lot of pressure on these games by not winning the games against promotion rivals. They put all the pressure on themselves now to win games like that they really should be winning. And it wasn't good enough. If they'd escaped there from a 1-0 with a 1-0 win, you'd overlook everything that happened on the pitch, because that's fine, you grind them out, but as they didn't score, it highlighted everything, and no, not good enough.
It's the usual story, isn't it? Because they dominate possession, but they had no cutting edge, no spark.
They dominated all, if you look down the stats, they dominated all of them, shots on target, shots off target, possession, tackles, all the stats, but final third, not enough creativity, and when the chances did come, they weren't taken.
And Norwood obviously still struggling with confidence. Lamb actually spoke about it after the game, saying that he's low on confidence. He obviously hit the bar, and had that going, that could have been a whole different story. Missed another gilt-edged opportunity. You actually wrote a bit about him yesterday, saying obviously he's struggling, but it's not fair that the weight falls entirely on his shoulders.
Yes, that's how I feel about it. Like, in isolation, you look at we know he's missed chances. He'll be the first to tell you that he should have scored more goals this season. Tuesday night, you said there, he hit the bar. That was actually it's a really good effort with his left foot. But then the rebound comes back to him off the bar, and that's on his right foot, and you'd want him to be putting the rebound away, really. Scuffed that. He had another low shot turned away. He put himself on free kicks, and that was a really poor free kick into the base of the wall, and then a one-on-one that he does all the hard work. I'm not sure anybody else in that team would have actually got a chance out of that situation. He intercepted the ball in midfield, charged through past the defender, but his last touch before his attempted finish was just that little bit too heavy. It took him towards the goalkeeper and the goalkeeper's smothered it away, and we've seen that a few times. But I would certainly argue that he should have scored more goals and he needs to take more of his chances. He knows that. But I would also argue that too much of the goal-scoring burden's on him. You look at the Ipswich team that Lambert named on Tuesday night. There are some injuries in there. Garbutt was missing, who we know has been a source of goals. Mm. But you look down the 11 and genuinely, if Ipswich were going to win that game, a goal had to come from one of the two strikers. And it's too much of a burden to be on a striker. Yeah, it's their job to score the goals, of course it is, but to be the only source of goals, that's a concern. The defenders, central defenders, are better than the two combined that they've scored. They should have scored more.
Mm.
The central midfield, Flint and Downs has scored two, and I think Emily Hughes has scored one in the EFL Trophy.
Mm.
That's not enough for midfield. And then Danasian and Earl, which is your width, two players you could describe as centre-backs if you wanted, certainly full-backs rather than wing-backs. They've got one career goal between them, and just wasn't enough goals. Not goals in the team.
Okay, so in terms of Tuesday night, Flynn Downs, once again, was a standout player, wasn't
he? Head and shoulders, yeah. Head and shoulders. But the makeup of that midfield was a concern for me. You could sense it from kickoff that was going to be too flat. You've got Skews in there, who we know the role that Skews plays. You've got Emmy Hughes in there, and you've got Flynn Downs in there, who all play the role that you would expect them to play on the pitch. But as a midfield three, there's not enough creativity in there for me, particularly when you're trying to break a team down. And to see Nolan, Judge, Dazelle, all unused substitutes, not playing a part in that game was disappointing, because they may well not have done, but put them on the pitch and there's a chance one of them could maybe unlock something, but didn't happen.
Hutchie, how have we got to this point? How are we here? Town are basically in relegation form. I think their form is better only than literally the bottom three in MK Dons, isn't it?
Something like that.
Over the last 25 games. Obviously, they started the season like gangbusters. Now in a situation where some would argue, me, that it actually looks more unlikely they'll make the playoffs than likely. Looking at the teams around them, games in hand, their rank, ability to score goals. How have we got to this point, my friend?
Well, I think we're officially at the point where you're out of the we would have taken this at the start of the season zone, I would say. Because while they were hanging around the top two in this form, which they were for a long time, third, fourth, they were up until last weekend, they were fourth. You probably would have said, we'd have taken this. But taking that is always with the assumption in your head that, you take this base position, but then you kick on and it's gonna turn.
Yeah.
Are we back into it's going to turn territory? Well, it needs to turn.
It did turn, didn't it? And then it's turned again, unfortunately.
Constantly turning.
Constantly rotating, which is not good.
Yeah, we could basically mash all of our podcasts from the last 4 months into one here to talk about winning but not necessarily blowing teams away at the start, which at the time it was acknowledged. We acknowledged that they weren't playing particularly well and were still winning. You look back at that now and with a little bit more concern, perhaps. Then there's the whole rotation period where it's like the ice age, isn't it?
The rotation era. Yeah.
The rotation age where that was the big talking point, where was that good? Was that working for Ipswich? And then you move on to a slight upturn in form and then a sort of a week-long battering from sides.
The good sides.
The sides at the right end of business.
And
That's how we're here. But what it's done is it's sparked conversation about would it be better if we didn't go up anyway?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
We've done that chat, yeah.
Yeah, and then it's put the ultimate pressure on every game that's left in terms of getting into the promotion fight. So it's a funny old game,
isn't it? And football, hell.
And this is where we are. But where we are is sadly not the performances aren't there consistently. That sounds like a concerning noise, like some kind of gas is being seeped into here.
Don't know if you can hear that on the audio. Is that the aircon kicking in?
Yeah.
Maybe it's a new way of Archer making cuts. Just get rid of two members of the sports desk.
That's a bit dark.
Fingers crossed. We'll carry on talking.
Yeah, we'll see. If we cut out,
Avenge our deaths, please. Yeah. What do you want to do now, Hotchie? Do you want to do a look ahead to the weekend?
What do I want
to
do
Or
now?
Do you want to do mailbag? Because those are the two bits we're going to do. Mm-hmm. Or do you want to talk about power rankings, which obviously you did this morning?
Then we talk about them.
Should we do them?
Yeah.
So let me
try and remember what I did.
Well, I'll bring it up.
Okay, bring it up.
First of all, number one with a bullet, as he has been, I think, for the whole season, has he?
Yeah, moving, is he?
Flynn Adeens are Downs, number one.
Yeah, he's been there since day one.
I'll just read out the top five, just so people know if they've not seen it. It's online now, go and check it out. Hutchie, this is edition four of the power ranking.
Yeah.
If you do, whenever you fancy it, really. When you feel like it's time, it just happens.
Yeah, loosely monthly, but when it actually turns up, you never know. But just explain, if you've not read it, we'll just explain briefly what it is. It's not necessarily a list of who the best football players are from 1 to 24, I think it is this time. It's constantly in flux. It's about vibe. It's about feeling. It's about prospects. It's about contributions. It's about what they've got to give, what they haven't given. It's very subjective.
So the top five, just let me read this out and we can talk more about it. So top five, number one, Flynn Downs. Number two, Luke Garbutt. Number three, Luke Wolfenden, Fear the Wolf. Number four, another Luke. Not Luke, isn't it? Luke Chambers is fourth. And then rounding out the top five, number five, Thomas Oley.
Yep.
So that's the top five. Just talk us through your thinking with those.
All I would say is that somebody has to be in the top five.
Yeah.
I think three of the four times that I've done this, it's been after kind of a dip in form. That's just how it's shaken out. Somebody has to be at the top. But Flynn Downs, he speaks for himself, doesn't he? Mm. I think he's been the best player for Ipswich this season. His future's trending upwards. The obvious pick. Luke Garbutt's been a riser. I think he was in. If you go down to the bottom, there's a fun little
there's a flourish graphic,
fun little
isn't there?
Graphic,
yeah.
which kind of charts their course to these. And Garbutt's been a bit of a riser in terms of being a nailed on starter, a contributor, both defensively. He takes on added importance as one of these wing backs, and also in terms of goal threat, I think they're noticeably lacking something without him in the team. Especially, except we had Cole Skews. We were sitting there watching Cole Skews taking set pieces at Wimbledon, and in a tight game like that, he could just have made the difference. I think absence has kind of strengthened his cause as well. Third, Luke Wolfenden, same as Downs, he's trending upwards.
Then Chambo,
yeah.
Then Holy. Should we talk about big risers and big fallers as well?
Yeah.
Because I'm interested. That's always, for me, the most interesting thing.
Yeah.
So the big risers, the biggest riser, Emir Hughes, up 9 in the rankings, and followed by Gwion Edwards, who's up 6.
Yeah.
11 and 12 they are. Now, obviously, they're playing themselves into top 10, potentially.
Yep. Yeah, that rise of 9 is from 20 to 11 for Emir Hughes, who, since the last, this is all kind of based on what happens between the periods of these being done, but the previous one, he wasn't in the side, he wasn't starting league games with any regularity whatsoever. But aside from a little knock recently, he has been
clutching at straws.
Just a big rise,
which
we're
clutching at straws, aren't we? Emir Hughes returned to playing regular football has to be a positive.
Yeah, and it takes you 9 spots up the rankings.
Exactly. Let's talk big fallers though, shall we, as well. Will Norris and Andre Dizel, both down 5.
Yeah.
18th and 19th respectively. Norris is fairly obvious.
Yeah.
Dizel, so just because he's not played, basically?
He's not played a minute of football
in that period of time.
Not a single minute of football.
How's that happened? When we talk about town not having a spark.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
It's becoming hard to see what his place is. The talent's obvious.
Mm.
There's the constant debate about whether he contributes with enough regularity, whether you can play somebody in midfield when you know they're kind of sparking something every now and again and not taking games by the scruff of the neck. You can have all of that conversation, but clearly he's a talented boy. That's obvious.
Yeah.
But it's becoming hard to see where he fits in under Lambert because there are so many ahead of him.
Mm.
And he's just not getting minutes. And then there's the contract situation as well, which isn't moving on, isn't advancing. Very interested to see where he'll be playing his football next season.
Yeah. And then bottom of the pile, number 24, Danny Rowe.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's been out injured.
Yeah.
And you've got the likes of El Mazzouni, obviously, he's out on loan at the moment, and a sad departure, Jay Robs.
Yeah. To make it into the power rankings list, you have to have played in the league.
Well,
he played 1 minute.
Yeah.
Which,
and then he's signed for Gillingham, which makes him no longer relevant to the Ipswich Town power rankings.
But he's starting every week.
Sad times.
Yeah.
So there you go, that's the power rankings. Check them out. They're fully online now. You can read Hutch's thoughts on every single player who's played league football for Town. Hutchie, do you want to do look ahead or do you want to do mailbag
next? Let's do mailbag.
There's a lot of mailbag.
Let's do some mailbag.
There's a lot of mailbag this week. A lot of people have a lot of feelings.
All positive feelings, I'm sure.
We're not going to have to do them all, obviously, because we can't sit here for 3 hours. But we'll do as many as we can. We still recording?
Yep.
Excellent. That is a bonus. So first of all, Nigel G... Oh, you've got to do the tune, man.
I've got two tunes there.
Yeah.
I'll do them back to back.
Go on. Mega mix.
Mailbag, mailbag. It's time for Mark and Andy to dip into the mailbag.
Boop, boop.
Friend of the show.
There you go. We're bringing you positivity.
Number 9.
In the form of music.
With his big tunes. Fish.
Big fish. It's a carp?
It's a bass.
Are you sure it's a bass?
I don't care.
I'm sure it's a carp. I care. Nigel G says, in a scenario where Town don't go up, looking more and more likely, Marcus brings in the KOA celebs, I assume that means you and Stu, to support the hashtag Honey Badger emojis with one aim, automatic promotion and piss the league. He gives you 1.5 million, very similar to your current salaries, and says you can reinvest any money from sales. What do you do? Formation, who's sold and who's bought? So you're sitting...
Goodness.
With a big...
What's the scenario? They haven't gone up.
They've not gone up. So Marcus brings you in, you and Stu. Obviously, there'd be creative tensions there straight away.
We'd be fine. Don't worry about that.
He gives you 1.5 million and says you can reinvest any money from sales. So what are you going to do?
I think even the appointment... Is Lambert still around here?
Mm.
So what...
I think you're like directors of football. Yeah, it says brings in the KOA celebs to support the Honey Badger.
Okay.
So he'd still be managing and all that. You'd be moving pieces around
okay.
the board.
We're Wheeler. Okay. I like this.
Think general manager in American football.
I would accept the job.
Yeah.
For a start. I think even the appointment of people like Stu and I.
Yeah.
Would make it tough to keep hold of Flynn Downs.
You're not enough of a pull to keep hold of Flynn Downs.
I'm not convinced
that
even us could do that.
So you're selling Flynn Downs?
Obviously I wouldn't want to do that. Reluctantly, I will. But I want a good price.
Mm-hmm. What's a good price? You're talking 10 milli?
I don't think you can get that as a League One club. I genuinely don't.
5 to 7?
Yeah.
That's still a lot, isn't it?
It is. My gut feeling is that he's a £6 million football player.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you can quite get that high, I don't know. Let's call it that.
It's going to be in demand.
That's what I want.
What you want is a bidding war.
I want a bidding war.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I want. Yeah, grudgingly. And I get all... Me and Sue get all of this,
you
right?
You can reinvest the money. So Downs is gone. £6 million, he's gone. Okay. How about the other one? Fear the Wolf. Your other saleable asset. He's staying.
No, I'll keep him, please.
Yeah, okay.
I'll keep him, please. I would... Well, we need to get a left back in the building.
Yeah, we've got 7.5 million with now.
I'd get Garbutt done.
Yep.
I'd get that done.
Absolutely.
First piece of business. I'll be telling the manager that I expect him to play for a 4-3-3 or a 4-2-3-1.
Yeah.
But depending on, I want Jack Lancaster fully fit. I want him firing, and then I want another wide forward
mm-hmm.
with pace, direct running, can come inside, support. That's what I want.
Connor Wickham? Can I have some of what Lambo was smoking, by the way, before that interview? Like, Connor Wickham, what?
I mean, he would have been very good.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Feels like a man among boys.
Yeah, I've not really got
much. Little ambitious.
Yes, a little ambitious.
Yeah.
Last January,
yeah,
when Ipswich were kind of...
More realistic.
Yeah, we're a championship side. I can't see Palace ever allowing him to have gone out to a League One club.
Doesn't make me worry if that was one of their targets. Yeah, anyway,
I'm sure he was one of many. It doesn't hurt to make the call. And they probably got the answer they were expecting.
Starts with F, ends with off. I'd imagine. Yeah. So back to your general manager fantasy. You've got Dan's out of the building. You've got 7.5 million to play with. You've used some of that to secure Luke Garbutt.
Yeah.
You're looking for another... You say
Jack Lancaster's fit in this scenario. He's fit, and I want another player like him. I want someone with intensity, pace, someone that doesn't stop and can attack from wide areas. Mm. I'd want another striker.
What sort of striker?
I want someone with a bit of muscle. Someone that can. I want Connor Wickham.
Yeah.
Someone that can hold the ball up, but is also got the aforementioned pace, power a little bit.
You want Ivan Toney?
Yeah, I'd love Ivan Toney. Yeah. And then, probably want another central midfielder. So I think I'll need to be replacing Flynn. Somebody with a bit of grit in midfield. Good with the ball at his feet, that kind of thing.
Where does Andre Dizel fit into your general managing?
Andre Dizel will need to sign a new contract for me, otherwise you have to start considering whether you take some cash before he leaves for a tribunal fee, which is never the best. But yeah, there's a contract to be done there.
I'm excited to see this.
Yeah,
I'd like Kutchy and Stu involved. Stu would be like, he'd have loads of spreadsheets, Excel spreadsheets and flow diagrams and stuff. You'd do it a lot more from gut, I think. And feel.
I do a lot of stuff from my gut.
Yeah.
And feel. Yeah.
So you would be like, what's his name? Billy Bean, Moneyball. He'd be all about stats. And you'd make quite a good team, I reckon.
We do make a good team.
We do, yeah. Right then, there are a lot of questions along a similar line. So I'm not going to read them all out, but I shall name check the people who have asked the similar sort of questions. First of all, The Pin, our old friend.
He's back.
He is back.
Friend of the show, back from a ban.
He's on a new account as well. He says, you know I love you guys more than Five Guys Burgers, but the time has come to ask a mega serious question. What would it take for your esteemed publication to begin a campaign to oust Evans? I can hear the tuts and groans, but it will come to this soon. Hashtag turmoil, hashtag Evans out. Now, this is interesting.
Can I make one point first?
Yeah.
Five Guys is potentially overrated.
What?
It's all right, isn't it?
It's significantly better than Burger King, McDonald's.
Yeah. But it's also significantly more expensive.
Yeah. I'm happy to pay for quality.
Okay. It's okay. It's all right. Move on.
Okay. Next. So back, I mean, what I would say in the general feel of things at the moment, Hutchie, this is my concern. We've got 13 games left. At the moment, you wouldn't make Town favourite to win any game the way they're playing. And so I fear this season could fizzle out quite quickly. And if that happens, things might get quite hostile on the terraces. The fans have been brilliant, obviously, with their support. Unbelievable support from the fans. But the way it's going, I fear it could get quite nasty. Now, the players and Lambert are obviously going to be the first targets. But I think more and more we're going to see targets aimed, not literally, at Evans. So, first of all, would that be fair? Marcus Evans puts a lot of his money in every year to keep the club going. Obviously, he bought the club, he saved the club, some would say. But since he bought the club, they've gone from being perennial promotion contenders in the Championship to now struggling to make the playoffs in League One. It's been a decade of kind of decline, essentially. Yeah. So where do you stand on the whole Evans debate?
He was sat directly in front of us, in the row in front of us at Wimbledon on Tuesday.
Does he swear when he's watching football?
No, he's quite quiet. He's wearing a black baseball
cap.
That's
a shame. I'd like to...
Where do I stand on that? I don't think you can... You can't... No, it's black and white where the club has gone under him. It you know, it is. That you can chart that by league position with one flirtation, one real flirtation with the Premier League. In general, in terms of, if we're talking about protests in general, there has to be an alternative.
Yeah, that's the issue, isn't it?
We've talked about this so many times that the feeling is that he would be open to selling the club if the right offer to the right person came along, and it hasn't. You can't just, whatever Glenn Tamplin, the old Villaricci guy, tells you, you cannot resign as an owner.
Yeah.
And if Marcus Evans just walked away from Ipswich Town, the club would be in an absolute mess. Saying that, it's clear that some decisions along the way have been poor in terms of having football people, in inverted commas, in key positions. That hasn't happened. They're making an effort with that now with Lee O'Neill, who is by far the most in tune with football that Evans has had in that role, and it's a role that's a step in the right direction, I think. That link between Evans and the manager, but unless there's a viable alternative, it's really hard to talk about this with
people
Evans.
Who are willing to spunk away $7 million a year and not get much in return.
Yeah,
there's in short supply.
Yeah, I mean, I can't do that.
No,
and there aren't. I think it's an expression that comes from Marcus and from the club, that there aren't like Russian oligarchs or big Asian businessmen sort of rushing up the A12 from London to do something like that with Ipswich Town. And unless there is somebody willing to take that on, then that isn't going to change. I also think there are examples of what rolling the dice in ownership can kind of do to clubs. The decline on the pitch is there to see, but in terms of Marcus Evans, without backing, you know, he is, we've so many times we've talked about not having the money to compete in today's football landscape. That's slightly skewed now that they're in League One and the financial landscape changes compared to the Championship. But he, in terms of being a responsible owner and running the club safely, in that sense, it's maybe a better the devil you know scenario, because
people don't want safe. That's the problem, though, isn't
it?
People
want
sexy.
People want people
to come in, start spending money, making it rain all over the gaff.
And then
hopefully it leads to success. It might lead to the club being a complete disaster.
Yeah,
but that's what people want, isn't it?
To an extent, yeah. But where I personally, from my point of view, where I would be on it is, I can recognise that he's made a lot of mistakes along the way, but in terms of the football club being stable, it's losing money, but it's stable. Here comes the
wow.
Here comes the gas again.
Yeah.
Being stable along the way,
There aren't many examples of what happened to Leicester, for example, when they were in League One.
No,
Milan Mandarić sold the club, and obviously the Thai consortium came in, and that was tremendous. But there aren't many examples of that happening.
Well, you look at Wolves. Like, Wolves have essentially been taken over by, like, it's a Chinese takeover, I think, at Wolves, but it's heavily funded.
Yeah.
And with the benefit of, like, big Portuguese super agents and like that, that is what's kind of propelled them along the way.
Yeah.
And you just can't see that happening at Ipswich. And, I'm not sure that protests to get Evans out is... I think he'd happily sell if the right offer came, but it hasn't.
Going back to your specific question, the pin... what would it take for us to begin a campaign that would be way above our pay grade? We wouldn't be the people making that decision. Shadowy ancient figures in big boardrooms would be talking about stuff like that, and at some point, hopefully, they'd ask our opinion. But you never
know. You'd think they might.
You never know.
But they are. Yeah. Maybe not.
Joe Fares.
Oh, friend of the show.
Good to hear from you.
Number 10.
Number 11. No, number 10. Of course, he was the 10th.
Yep.
In the pantheon of greats at the live pod.
Yep.
Joe Fares. He starts the Lambert ball rolling, so I'll ask this question and we'll maybe skip over a few of the others.
Yep.
What is the point in keeping Lambert? It's either him who's the issue or the players. if it's the players, then do you trust him to be the one to overhaul the squad, or has he earned that trust? Would he be gone without the new contract? So Lambert, a lot of people are saying they want to see Lambert leave. His record is abysmal, which it is, to be fair. It's not good at all. And we saw an example this week of Simon Grayson getting the axe after a bad run of 12 games. Now Lambert's has been equally bad.
Yep.
Obviously, he's got the five-year contract. First of all, do we know if there's any clause at all that says if Lambert doesn't take this team up this season, they can get rid of him? Because that would be sensible. Otherwise, it's going to cost them a lot.
I'd be amazed if Paul Lambert would sign that contract.
Yeah.
Given that he had 18, if that was the case, if that was the clause that we're talking about this summer.
Yeah.
If there was I'd be amazed if he signed that. Mm. Given that
maybe he's feeling better.
There'll be clauses in there that secure him a payoff.
Mm.
I'm sure. Whether there's a break, there's always clauses in there. But whether he would have signed one that would allow him to simply get rid for free, no chance. I can't see that.
So, where do you stand on the Lambert question?
Are we basically talking Lambert in or out here? Is that where a lot of people are talking about? That where we're at?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I was in Lambert out at this point.
Again, there have to be viable alternatives, don't there?
Yeah.
You just wonder.
The whole vibe that you're getting from the club at the moment is about the long term. That's why he was given a 5-year contract. I don't think they've budgeted for an immediate promotion because it's about the long term, and it makes sense to have sort of a constant at the helm of the long term. But I guess what Joe's question is has Lambert earned the right
to be that
man? And that's a tough question to answer. Like, they went down with a whimper last season, but I guess the way that, if we're talking about the long term of the club, up until a point, you still take into account the work he did last season in terms of bringing fans back and stuff like that. That's, if we're talking about a long term plan, which we are, that's part of that.
Mm.
That's good. But there has to be a time where you're getting results on the pitch.
And also on the fans' back. I mean, if they stay in this league, you ain't going to be getting crowds like this season, are you? Next season.
That will fall. It's a tough question. I wouldn't be thinking about firing him at this stage.
Joe very much is.
I get that impression.
Joe does not want Lambert.
I do get that impression. And I get what he's saying, because in terms of like playing style, that hasn't got to the point where we probably expect, well, it certainly hasn't got to the point where we expected it to be at this time of the season. We saw there were shoots and things that last season that made you think that they could build towards something by February of 2020, but that's not got there, and there are reasons for that. Some self-induced because of the rotation and things like that, some less so due to injuries, which I'm convinced that injuries have stopped him playing the system that he wanted to play. We talked about this loads of times. I genuinely believe that kind of the 4-3-3, 4-2-3-1, whatever you want to call it, that we saw some decent stuff from last season without getting the results. I think that was the plan, but injury derailed that. He's just had no wide options all season. I would certainly be giving Lambert, I'd be giving Lambert the full season, I think, and then it's a discussion for down the line. But I get where Joe's coming from.
Peckham Blue, with the 5-year contract looking premature as it stands, when was the last time Mark, Stu and Andy were premature themselves? I'm literally never premature, because one of my big problems in life, secret of life is to know oneself. That's what Gandhi said. I know I am always late to everything. In my head, my internal monologue, everything takes 5 minutes. So even if it's a drive that I know takes 15 minutes, in my head, it only takes 5 minutes. And therefore, I'm frequently late, which I know is a really, really bad trait. Hutchie, you strike me as quite a punctual sort of person.
Relatively.
Yeah.
Yeah, relatively. I think I'm probably punctual. You probably see me as punctual because you're always late.
Yeah.
So you have...
That's accurate.
If you're 15 minutes late, you don't know that I was 7 minutes
exactly.
late.
Exactly. And that's a good spot to be in.
Yeah.
You know that I am unreliable. So you're just slightly less unreliable.
Yeah, and I can style it out. Exactly. But no, I'm okay, actually. I'm all right.
Yeah.
I am quite guilty sometimes of not worrying about being late until I'm actually late.
Yeah.
Like same as what you've just said, really. If you've got a 15-minute journey, I'm not late until 1 minute past nine.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. I'm leaving too late, but I'm not actually late yet.
I tell you
but
when
no,
I was...
I'm quite punctual.
I tell you when I was definitely premature was in about October this last year. And I was on here talking about HMS Pistol League and
that, yeah,
Towner going off.
That was premature.
I was definitely premature then.
Yeah.
So, yeah, apologies for that. Matt Phillips, is Town slump the fault of the supporters? Relegated, yet the fans cheered the players off last season, like the club had been promoted, euphoric stadium. Our fans accepting mediocrity has created a comfort zone for the players in League One, and any old performance will do. I'm not having this, Matt.
Fans out.
No.
That's what I'm calling for.
I'm not having this.
All fans to be banned.
You cannot blame the fans. The fans have been unbelievable. No. Unbelievable, considering what they've put up with over the last 10 years. And they're still turning up in their droves this season. You can't say they've accepted mediocrity just because they're turning up. What do you want? A completely empty stadium? That wouldn't help anyone.
Well, Lambert's been talking about 20,000 fans turning up and players not dealing with the expectation, haven't they? So they're turning up with the expectation of winning. Mm. So, no, I would...
No.
I reject that.
Head's gone, Matt. Come on. As Chris Sutton said, you're better than that, Matt. You're better than that. FBL Tractor, does the esteemed panel... That's probably just you.
Is two a panel?
Well, certainly in terms of esteem, you're the only one on this panel who's esteemed. Think we're a better team than when we played Burton in game one of the season?
Good question. No.
No. The evidence is there, isn't it?
Yeah. I think on a few occasions... You've heard players talking about we need to get back to that almost an underdog mentality that they had on that opening day at Burton. There was such a feeling of nerviness in the air at Burton on that day. It really did feel like, what's going to happen here?
Yeah.
What happens? And they did okay. They did all right. They handled that well. And they've certainly played better than that along the way, but in terms of like a genuine full progression, it's not come along as long as,
and
as far
the,
as we'd
the
hope.
Key word is team as well, isn't it? Because Stewie, who's obviously not with us today, is having a day off, well deserved. One of the things he wrote about in the report was that no one was stepping up. People were kind of looking to other players to take it on their backs. And in terms of a team, there doesn't seem to be a lot of cohesion and that kind of stuff, which is definitely a worry. Lots of questions about Lambert, as I said. Jack Wiles asks about Lambert. Kevin Hurst asks about change in the summer. Tom Rumsey, who I think was one of the KOA Live massive, he also asked about Lambert, saying how can anyone think it's still acceptable and still back Lambo? Evan Williams gives the opposite opinion on the Evans. Everyone is bitching about the owner, but he's losing millions every year. We're 90 million in debt and don't even own our own ground. Who on earth would want to buy the club? We need to be careful we don't end up being abandoned and follow Notts County to the conference. That's a fair comment.
Yeah, Notts County is certainly an example of what can happen.
Yeah. Peter Dwellyhouse, again on the management thing, he said it's time for ITFC to roll the dice. Nathan Jones is about. Go and get him. His diamond system is perfect for our squad with our midfielders. Lambert's not getting the best out of the players. We're going to shoot ourselves in the foot if we persist with this. So Nathan Jones, we talked about options. Nathan Jones didn't work out for him in the Championship. But
no. I mean, if there was a vacancy, he would certainly be one that you'd think about. But not right now.
Paul M, whose avatar is a picture of Paul McCartney. What did the Heath Master General, that's me, make of Kel Brook's performance and most importantly the walk-on?
Is he still going?
Yeah, man. He had his comeback fight the weekend. The walk-on was brilliant. All of the Lights is one of the best walk-ons in boxing. I was not massively overwhelmed with his performance. It did the job, I'd say. I really hope he fights Amir Khan before the end of his career because that's still a big, big fight. And to Andy, he says... Sorry,
what's going on with Kel Brook's eye? Didn't he...
Yeah, well, he's smashed it up twice.
Yeah, it's not good, is it? Isn't he like one punch from going blind?
Well, there's some quotes out there about it, because he broke his eye socket against Golovkin when he stepped up to middleweight, and then he also had it done by Errol Spence. There's some quotes out there about how he could feel the jelly in his eye leaking out. Yeah, it's
give it up.
Fighters, man.
Was Golovkin, the Golovkin fight at Bramall Lane?
That was Errol Spence.
Errol Spence.
Oh. Yeah. Also, Paul says to Andy, could we get a rundown of what his match day routine is? So when he arrives, what does he do pre-kickoff, after the match, etc.?
So you want the full rundown?
I think people find that interesting.
I'll give it to you at pace.
Yeah.
Wake up. I have my daughter, just me and my little girl until midday. We'll talk home game here.
Yeah.
Just me and my little girl till midday. Hang out, go to the park, check out some swings, maybe get a smoothie. Sure. Mm-hmm. Then I'll go to my mum's, drop her off about midday, walk down to the ground, do a little walk round to the other side, sign in, have a little chat with David on the gate, who's a lovely man, about what's going to happen. And then we wildly get our prediction wrong, wander in, first thing, up to the counter, get a bottle of water and a pie from Patrick, sit down, log my computer on, read the programme, start dealing with sort of team newsy stuff.
Yeah.
Look into any bits that I want to look into, any narrative that's going on. There's always someone around to talk to, either someone that you've kind of seen on the circuit over the years, or someone a bit like old colleagues who cover other teams now, which is always good. Have a chat with them about the thing. Always try and have a little chat with Mick Mills, who's doing the radio, because I could talk about football with him for hours and hours. Mm. I quite like watching warm-ups, so I go up and watch them. You can learn a lot from them. Then the game starts. Do the game full time. By the time I left my seat, I've published a match report and some player ratings. Then I go and hang around outside the tunnel for half an hour to speak to someone.
That's not for work, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just for a laugh in the rain.
Yeah.
Speak to a player down there, come up. And that's about it, really. Then I go home.
There you go. That's Hutchie's working day. Right. Let's zoom through a few more, because a lot of them are about Lambert. So I'm going to name check people. Ross Wishart asked about Lambert. Josh asked about... I think that's a reply to someone else. Martin Code asked about Lambert. Brad asked about formation. Tom Bull asked about why Judge, Hughes, Bishop, Skuse and Downs haven't got more than 3 assists this season. I guess that's a lot to do with the rotation and settled team.
It's part of it, but I also think they could all have done more. You can see signs of Flynn Downs beginning to add that to his game, but I was looking through kind of a few statty bits yesterday on this, and why I think it's imperative that Norwood continues to play through this little slump of confidence that Lambert's talked about, is that he's the one that's having chances. He's the only, like, he's having 3 chances a game on average. Caden Jackson has 1.5 and Will Keane has 0.8. So his usage rate is quite high, but you want the player that's making chances. Like, genuinely, the one-on-one that Norwood missed, I don't think any of the other strikers would have got into a shooting position from there. So I'd keep playing him.
Owen Riley asked, are we officially out of would have taken this at the start of season territory? Obviously, you've called that already.
Yeah, good call, Owen.
Zach Ward, Arthur Pickthorne, Tractor Girl asked about Lambert. And I want to finish, because this is right up your street, Hutchie, a little bit of light amongst all this shade, with the sweet Welsh prince, Harvey Davis.
The dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give him his theme tune. Come on.
Friend of the show. Wales.
Was that in a Welsh accent?
I started doing it, but then I remembered Harvey doesn't actually have one.
I don't
one.
Care. He's in Wales, therefore he speaks in Welsh and eats leeks. On a lighter note, he says, I'm off to Krakow on Saturday. Any must-dos while I'm there? Thought I'd take the conversation away from town's depressing form. Krakow. Have you been?
I've never been.
Oh, that's
I've been to Poland.
Yeah.
I've been to...
What on a general Polish note can you recommend?
Pierogies.
What's that?
Think tortellini.
Yeah.
But kind of a bit more doughy.
Okay.
And filled with Polish goodies. Bartosz Białkowski loves them.
Yeah.
They're really nice. You can have them either boiled or fried. I'd recommend the fried. Get get yourself some pierogies.
Get some pierogies then.
Yeah, particularly if you can get some like steak ones with some potato in there, a bit of veg in well.
That sounds
they
nice.
Are really good. They're stodgy. They're horribly stodgy, but if you're going in February and it's a bit cold, yeah, definitely go pierogi.
Excellent. Have a good time, Harvey. Do do send us a picture of you eating a pierogi.
Please do. I'd love to see that.
It's good to see. Hutchie, that's going to end mailbag. We've had a lot of questions, obviously quite a lot on a similar note. So thanks very much for everyone who's taken the time to get involved. We appreciate all of the KOA Army all of the time. This weekend, Hutchie, Ipswich Town host Burton Albion, which is what passes for a big game these days, which is a bit depressing in itself. Ipswich Town surely have to win on Saturday, don't they? There's 13 games left.
Of course they do.
I know people go, that's ridiculous. It's not technically a must-win game, but it is to all intents and purposes. They have to win.
They all are.
There's a lot of pressure on every single game going forward now. Flynn Downs, you spoke to him, and he said they've got to win every single home game realistically now, which given their home form has been shit, well, slightly better than shit, is not an appetising proposition. So what are we saying about Burton, my friend? How are you feeling going into this?
Every time Ipswich play Burton, it's tight and it's not particularly fun. And I think it's going to be exactly like that again.
Can Ipswich Town score a bloody goal? That's the question.
I think, yeah.
Because they're going to have to if they're going to win games.
Yeah. Where's Ross? Where's Ross?
Ross Radamus. He said it's going to be a dull 0-0 before Wimbledon. He said, we can't score and they're useless.
Well, you nailed that.
He nailed it, absolutely. He's got quite a worryingly long trend of getting things right now.
He's not going to the game this weekend, is he?
No, he's at Man City for the ladies on Sunday. He's travelling up on Saturday. So, how are you feeling?
I do think they'll win. I do.
Do you?
I think they'll grind one out. Yeah, I think it might be 1-0. That's what I think. But I don't think it's going to be pretty. And I think the tension could match the opening day game between the two teams.
God, I hope so. I really hope so, because as I say, I don't want this season just to fizzle out and it all get a bit nasty, because that's not what we need. The season started so well, the fans have been so good. Just really hope they can do it on Saturday.
Maybe you're kind of clutching at things a little bit, but they're capable of beating a team 1-0 at home.
Do you feel like if they can just get one win and something clicks, that they are capable of putting together a run?
They could. I don't.
Pigs could fly.
Yeah, I don't. It doesn't feel like they're waiting for liftoff, does it? Of course they could. Of course they could. But I don't think. Yeah, I don't think you'll necessarily. If say they grind out this 1-0 this weekend, get that job done. I don't know if you necessarily go into Oxford the following week thinking, right, here we go, we're off here. I think you're in the same. I think we're in this boat for a good while. Can they grind one out? Can they get the job done? And slowly but surely, maybe then you start to build some kind of momentum. But no, I don't think we're really in kind of liftoff territory. Sadly, hope I'm wrong.
Oh dear.
Often am.
Anything else to say? Anything else to mention?
Thoroughly depressing, this, isn't it? I wish I was going to Krakow with Harvey.
That'd be good fun, wouldn't it?
Have some pierogies.
Be good fun. I like the sound of those.
They're nice. Yeah, you can get them like in Tesco. Not quite the same.
Some good news, by the way. KOA Army member Peter McLeod, our resident Amsterdam KOA listener, has invited us over.
Yeah.
We talked about Blazing the Blues, didn't we? Our long held idea.
Yeah.
Which right now feels like a very good. A good way of doing things.
Yep.
He's invited us over. He said he'll host it. So,
that's that problem solved.
Maybe we should
it?
Do that. If Town don't win this weekend, we should go and do that, and everything will be chilled out.
Yeah. I think you could make it even a 0-0 home draw with Burton could be fun in that scenario, couldn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, then. That sounds good.
Let's do that. So, usual stuff. At some point, you're going to have to. Will the Arch and Jingle be at the end of this one?
Yes.
Excellent.
It will be at the
end. Look
out
for that. Make sure you listen to that, obviously, as well.
Yeah.
Hit subscribe on your various podcast providers. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Follow us on all the social medias, Kings of Anglia, especially on the Kings of Anglia dedicated Twitter stuff, because we're going to do a lot more podcast-related stuff on there, which we can't get away with, frankly. on any of our other stuff.
Getting close to 500 on there.
Yeah, it'd be nice to go over 500.
Yeah, I think we need to have 500 by the next time Ipswich win.
Yeah, which will be Saturday, obviously.
Or September.
thanks for joining us. We will speak to you again next Monday when hopefully, Ipswich Town will have beaten Burton and we have something at least to get excited about. We might even be able to play Sweet Caroline. We'll take every opportunity we can before the end of the season to get excited. Come on, Town. Up the Town. Come on. Get behind the boys. We'll speak to you again next week.
From true crime to football, Brexit to folklore. For more great podcasts from Archant, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archant.